What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We're live from a rainy buoy where the Chesapeake Bay Sox are playing to play the Erie Seawolves later this evening. We'll be joined by Brandon Butterworth at 4:15. We're joined by Jaron Watts Brown just a few minutes ago. Seems like a great kid, pitching prospect they got in the Sir Anthony Dominguez deal. Orioles currently lead the Mariners 5-0. You heard it in Bone's update. Tomoyuki Sugano, 5 1/3, 3 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Orioles, it's the go-go O's, Jason. They got a run on a wild pitch. They had a double steal. Ryan Mountcastle stole home. Jeremiah Jackson, RBI base hit. Gunnar Henderson, RBI double. And then Mountie, a sack fly. And they're in position, assuming the rain stops, to get 2-3 from the red-hot Seattle Mariners.
Look, we can go back to last night and the ninth inning, and it's like, all right, they did some interesting things here. They fought their tails off. The bullpen probably blew this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there in the middle of the ninth, kind of like, why? I'll be honest, why am I... Why am I watching? Why am I putting myself through this again?
What else are you going to watch?
Right? And then Jackson Holliday has an elite at-bat against one of the nastiest relievers in the game, and they have their first walk-off of the season,
mm-hmm.
and they're celebrating like a bunch of kids, which is what they are, but you don't see that very often.
No.
Because the last 14 months have been pretty barren around here. And so you kind of like – and I'll be honest, during the rain delay – they're showing one of the first games with the when they got old Mr. Splash out there. And you're listening to Ben and
Kevin Brown
talking about this newfangled thing and people getting squirted at a ball game. And those sort of bookends were like, man, that's what this thing is like when it's right around here. You know, the pregame stuff where the game's delayed and watching that throwback game. And then sitting through the reality of, like, wasted at-bat after wasted mm-hmm. at-bat and, like, oh, my God, this
wasting
is
wasting Trevor Rogers.
Why the 7-9 guys in this lineup, why are they here? This is really the best we can do. And then to have Jackson Holliday, who's been mired in a pretty big funk, win that ball game for them in that fashion, it's like you're reminded of the beauty of baseball. But it also is bittersweet for me. And even what they're doing today and winning this series against the Mariners, it's like we just had Tony Gwynn on. And we're going around all these different teams. These teams are so effing flawed. Like, there's the one alleged super team, the Dodgers, can't beat the Angels right now. No. You know what I mean? Like, that's the climate we're living in. And for us to have regressed that far, it stings.
Well, look at this series alone. The Mariners are trying to play games deep into October. Ryan Mountcastle in the first game of this series came this close to having the Orioles' first walk-off.
Yeah.
They walked it off last night. And, of course, they're leading 5-0. The starting pitching's been fantastic throughout this entire series. But I also want to point out, in a more crazy baseball is baseball, Dylan Carlson with 2 hits, and he ended up being the winning run after having that 0-for-35 that he recently snapped.
Yeah, he the last time he got a hit was the last time the Orioles had a walk-off. Well, it was September 19th of last year. But, yeah, it is frustrating to watch on a nightly basis. And I think what happened late in this game, and I know you're going to be talking about it more next segment, TMI, but the continuing brilliance of Trevor Rogers, who somehow – going 7 innings, and by the way, speaking of Jackson Holliday, you got to get in front of a ground. But when the infield's in, you got to keep the ball in front of you.
Like he knew it.
He tried to backhand that ball, and like that's not professional grade. Alas, Trevor Rogers went 7, gave up 1. Like, he continues to be absolutely brilliant on the mound.
And Ken, before the Jackson Holliday misplay, you had Daniel Johnson playing that ball horribly off the wall, which led
Made
to the
triple
by Julio.
Yeah, Julio, who almost hit that ball off the ground.
Just crunched
the center field. It's like, holy crap. But Trevor Rogers, like, and you're watching him, and at times you see him And Jason, I know you watch it with this kind of eye, so I assume you're going to agree with me. But the way he sets up hitters now with for that changeup, like it's like, where was this guy a year ago? Like, that guy, well, he's so mentally locked in now.
I don't care about the past anymore. We're now talking, 11, 12-game sample size. That's a third of a season. Like, if you got a guy making 33, 34 starts, that's hitting the post. So we're a third of the way there. They need to have a plan with him. They need to love him up
right now
and find a way to buy at least another year or two of his service. That needs to be something that happens in this moment. The weird reality for them right now is we're in another one of these little kind of pockets where starting pitching is not the problem.
Mm-hmm. It's been really good.
The problem is run production and bullpen. But, like, Sagano is now settled, and he's obviously not going to come back in this game, like, with the rain delay. But he was – that's a great Seattle lineup. He really wasn't on – he was unencumbered.
Yes.
He wasn't dealing with a lot
not much stress.
No. Drama-free, which for him is important. So I don't know if it was the trade deadline that got to him or whatever, but he settled down. Dean Kramer's having his best season.
Yes.
And Trevor Rogers has got a 1.4 ERA or whatever, 1.14, whatever the hell it is.
1.43.
He's been Bob Gibson for a third of a season. Like, that all of a sudden has stabilized some things.
Here's a crazy thing. So our friend of the show, IA Hall of Famer Jacob Calvin Meyer, tweeted this out about 4 hours ago. The most valuable seasons by BWAR from Orioles starting pitcher since 2017.
This blew my mind, yeah.
Kyle Bradish is first at 4.8. John Means second at 4.4. Trevor Rogers at 3.8 is third. He's made 11 starts.
Well, it's 11. It's 11 starts. It's Sandy Koufax.
I know, but it shows you just how good it is that he's sitting there. He's ahead of John Means in 2021 at 3.6 and Corbin Burns last year at 3.5.
Now, again, we keep saying he's not going to have a 1.4 ERA all year. Well, but then he keeps doing it. But at some point, he won't. But, like, are the wheels turning the way they should be in the warehouse? Like, are they inviting his agent to town and putting him up in the Four Seasons for a weekend and saying, you know, let's find some real time to get something significant done here. Let's find a sweet spot. We get it. You probably don't want to sell 3 or 4 years of service time based off of his age, how much time he's pissed away the last few years, and, you know, and the fact he's only 1 year away from free agency. But is there some sort of middle-of-the-road contract that at least binds him here with team options through 2028 or something like that? Like, are they trying to thread that needle? Are they urgently creative? Are they ever urgently creative?
If you aren't aggressively trying to thread that needle, that's malpractice for the GM. Now is the time to go. You haven't had this type of dude, and especially a left-handed guy. Like, yes, you need to be having these conversations.
And I didn't even include in there, Povich looks like a major league starter.
Yes, he does.
So, like, the starting route, despite whatever, Eflin never going to pitch again. Well, he wasn't doing anything.
Hey, he wants to come back.
That's great. No thanks.
He wants to come back,
guy with
Jason.
General soreness. We saw that with an older guy with a back. No thanks. When it's good for a minute. When it's bad forever. Like, but all of a sudden, again, I feel like this rotation is kind of, it's not only not the problem, it's what's kept them competitively. Look, they're not getting blown out every night. So it's kept them at least playing relatively competitive baseball during a period of 10 games in which they scored 24 runs.
Hey, let's look at the flip side of this coin really quickly. And we talk about the volatility of bullpens all the time and why you want to sell high on a bullpen arm when he's doing well. We were talking about Felix Batiz in real time. Yunir Cano.
It was once
one of the best bullpen arms in baseball. He was an all-star as a setup man. He's awful.
Like, you're going to tell me that we don't, like, Rosny Contreras or whoever. Like, I don't. They moved on from Cino Perez,
yes.
And right, they loved him because he was back with them in the Astros.
Yes.
But, like, eventually this stuff runs its course. Like, him, and look, if you want to keep pretending this Corbin Martin is a thing, but, like, there's a couple of, like, it's time
Dietrich
to
ends.
It's time to reshuffle that day. He's,
he's
been fine. I'll wait. Like, look, the other shoe will drop there, but until it does, he's fine.
You let it ride.
But, like, Yeah, I think they should reshuffle their bullpen deck before they get on that plane, but I don't know that they are.
We are live from Bowie, Chesapeake Bay Sox. We're sitting here. We're inside, thank God, because it is pouring outside.
We're covered.
Yeah, we are undercover as the Bay Sox are taking on the Erie Seawolves, who are the best team in this league. Later this evening, Brandon Butterworth, one of the prospects the Orioles got in the deal from the Padres, where they traded Laureano and O'Hearn to San Diego, joins us at 4:15. But coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI, TAM, what you got?
Yeah, we're going to dive deeper into the Trevor Rogers of it all and also touch on Dean Kramer, who's on pace. Hey, it's kind of a throwback to Jordan Lyles for the boys. He's on pace to set a career high in innings pitched. We'll get into it next on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Let me ask you guys a question. Going back to May 24th to right this moment.
May 24th, okay. That's when they fired Hyde, no?
No.
Oh.
That was Trevor Rogers' first start.
Okay. In Boston.
So it was like 3 days before
he is the ERA leader among qualified starting pitchers since that time. A 1.43 ERA. Next closest is Matthew Boyd with a 1.79.
Wow.
So he's in a class of his own. And another gem last night against the Mariners. And you look at this most recent stretch, guys, where it's the last seven starts, he's completed 6 2/3 or more in five of them. He's allowed one earned run or zero in six of those seven. 42 strikeouts to 9 walks. He's giving you everything, and the splits are just ridiculous when you talk about him. Righties can't do anything. Left righties OPS 465, lefties 358. And you want to go to Baseball Savant and pitching run value 97th percentile, fastball run value 97th percentile, off speed 95th, the breaking run value, it's slumping, it's 79th percentile. Wow. This guy has just been a godsend and just the best development for this team. I think you could probably even say over Jackson Holliday, as crazy as that is, considering the level that he's
Jackson Holliday's got like a 685 OPS. This guy's
the best pitcher in baseball.
They need to be proactive in trying to get this guy signed up and tack on a couple years. And you're right, Jason. I'm sure him and his agent, like, hey, we don't want to give away too much because if I continue this, then I'm really going to break the bank. But you got to be able to find a middle ground to keep him in the fold. How many segments will we do the left-handed pitching that they didn't take advantage of with the initial wall, and now that they moved it in, you get this guy?
There's everything about this sort of blows me away. The fact that he's never pitching from behind, though, like, it's not that he's not walking people. He's, like, never behind in the count.
No.
Like, he comes in, dominates the first inning, establishes himself, and then pitches and shoves from a position of dominance to, like, the number one hitter through the nine hitter. Like, he's never chasing it. He's never feeling for it. It's like he's always dictating. And that's just so – I mean, take the numbers and everything else out of it. That's so contrary to how he presented himself last year. Frankly, it's contrary to how he presented himself in AAA this year. I don't know that I'll ever get my mind around it.
And it's over. To point, when he's pitching ahead in his splits, it is a 307 OPS that
that's unbelievable.
Have. When he is pitching ahead, 307 OPS.
OPS. It's unbelievable.
I wonder, and we talk a lot, all the evidence we have is that these guys don't have great bedside manner, but there is a way to massage this. This is a guy that 6 months, less than that, when he was at AAA, and as Jason, you pointed out, he didn't look good at AAA, you're wondering if this guy's career is going anywhere. Like, you give him some real money, Is there a way to get some, like a real organization, I think, would be able to get something done with this guy, because he was at a point,
look,
just it seemed like 5 minutes ago, where his career might have been done.
And given the fact that it's almost September and Kyle Stowers still has a 900 OPS, how do you not want to, like, you know they like to save face. We know optics matter. They should be, you talk about strange bedfellows, they should be, like, joined at the hip bedfellows, because he needed this to happen as bad as they needed
yes.
it to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we can't find a way to extend this beyond one more year of team control. If they can't, again, if they can't align themselves to the human side of this and the business side of this for this guy, they'll never do it for anybody.
And I know we didn't have the time yesterday because the offense was just so horrendous, but Dean Kramer, in the stretch that he's on, I felt like he deserved.
Yes.
Since the beginning of May, at 18 starts, he's got a 3.36 ERA, but it's also, he was talking about this during his press conference yesterday. I found it interesting where he was kind of bringing up the Jordan Lyles. He was bringing up Kyle Gibson in terms of, like, that's what I want to be at this point, where I want to be an innings eater moving forward. And, of course, he went 8 innings the other yeah. night. Mm-hmm. But he's on pace to blow by his career high of innings pitched in a season at 172 and two-thirds. He's at 140 and a third, probably going to get 7 more starts. So he'll blow by that. And if he could just ever figure out the April disaster. Oh. But Dean's – And the numbers, Barrett, the strikeout-to-walk ratio, his best of his career by far as well.
If Grayson Rodriguez was having the season Dean Kramer's having, we would probably be celebrating it. We would be championing it.
Yes.
Like, so, again, they've got 4 starters in good form right now. The kid going tomorrow, I think it's going to be Brandon Young tomorrow, probably. I don't know, they haven't officially announced it, but a lot of websites are projecting it. That is what it is. And if McDermott wasn't hurt, I think it'd be McDermott by now. Or they'd go to a 6, which they might need to do anyway.
They already brought up
Sagano and everything else. But, like, yeah, Dean Kramer's had a hell of a year.
Yeah, the starting pitching as a whole definitely looks a lot more. The bullpen is what it is. That's just unfortunately going to be a daily nightmare. But starting pitching uptick, but the starting nine needs to be better. I mean, especially if the starting staff is going to give you what they gave you against the Mariners, who were serious players at the deadline, starting nine's got to come to the party.
Yeah. More walks, fewer strikeouts.
It is fascinating that Dean is always bad in April. So, of course, he was terrible in April this year. And he's probably been the best he's ever been since the calendar turned to May.
Yeah.
If Grayson Rodriguez ever has a season like this, I will call it a win.
Well, because, A, it means he hit the post every 5 days, which
yeah.
the guy can't seem to do because he's made of glass.
But this kid's been consistent. I say he's not a kid anymore. He's been consistent for basically 4 straight months.
Apologies. He does hit the post on foul territory every time. he does not miss.
Well, that's not heavy lifting.
Yeah. But
that's just running his gums like we do. That's not hard.
He seems to hit that post every time.
Well, I'm guessing he has some sort of contractual arrangement with them.
By the way, one other note. When we're here on remote, the guitar's hitting me differently than it does in studio. Is this you on guitar, Bon?
It's not me on guitar.
Yeah,
no. I have no instrument talent.
Ah.
Nothing.
So this isn't you jamming?
Musically. No.
I should take credit for it.
That would be nice. I'd like to see you try to play the TMI song.
I could not.
Maybe you
can
learn it while you're in Greece.
Yeah.
It's a long plane ride.
Yes.
You might learn to play the guitar and
bring
do
guitar
it to
with
TMI.
You.
Oh, yeah. I got no money for a guitar after this trip.
Hey, coming up next is all the teams are planning for preseason week number 2. That includes the Pittsburgh Steelers and their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, speaks. We'll hear from him next here on The Fan. It is raining again out here in Bowie. Chesapeake Bay Sox taking on Erie this evening. By the way, want to let you know, tomorrow night, come see the Bay Sox and the Erie Seawolves represent their alternate identities in a highly anticipated rematch at Prince George's Stadium. The undefeated Chesapeake Oyster Catchers will host the Erie Moon Mammoths on Friday, August 15th. First pitch is at 7:05. Special ticket packages are available with a portion of the proceeds benefiting Survivor. Go to baysox.com to get your tickets. Orioles lead 5-0. Game is in the top of the sixth, out there in delay. One of the things I was just noticing as we were coming back, Jason listen, we talk about this team and their impatience at the plate, at least for one day. They've walked six times in this game already.
Well, it's amazing what happens when you let a starter who's, let's face it, the kid Evans going today is not Logan Gilbert. When you let him pitch himself into trouble and then continue to pitch himself into trouble and make him throw strikes, good things can happen. This team has also done a whole lot of first pitch swinging and a whole lot of pool happy stuff. We've seen a lot of bad habits take hold since last June. I'd love for them to be able to flush some of them. Look, we did a lot of talking about how they could reset themselves heading into the second half of the season at the long All-Star break when we knew their season was effectively, frankly, long over. And yeah, you want to see guys hit with men on base and clutch hitting and high leverage hitting and all that. But, like, putting starting pitchers under pressure because you take free bases when they're willing to offer them to you, it for me in modern baseball, as amazing as these pitchers are, and with velo being what it is and the array of arms they throw at you in the bullpen now, like, if you can't establish that as a baseline in your offensive principles, you're not going to win in October. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to outdistance the best of the best. You can go look at walk rate and correlate it to wins. It's not the end-all be-all by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll be damned if it doesn't help you put yourself into more advantageous situations. And I'm old enough to remember 2 weeks ago where they had five sack flies in a game.
Yeah.
And then they went 2 weeks. And
tied a record.
Right? So I don't want to get carried away about one night's performance. And I don't believe that, frankly, the hitting coach is there. And Mabry's helped some, but I don't think they've really gotten through. But if their core is going to be guys who strike out 150 times and walk 40 times, I'm just telling you, it's not going to be a very prolific core.
It's about having consistent professional at-bats throughout a nine-inning game. Because how many times have we seen this season where maybe the Orioles put up a crooked number in one inning and then that's it for the rest of the game?
Oh,
Or they don't even get on base until the eighth or ninth inning after scoring four in the second inning. We've seen that time and time again. If a pitcher is willing to give you a free pass, take it, because you take advantage of those mistakes. And that's what the Orioles have done today, where, you know, Westberg scoring on a wild pitch. You
yes.
have a double steal where Mountcastle steals home. Like, those are the type of things. Take advantage of the opposition's mistakes.
Yeah, Mounty with a stolen base, stealing a home. I think it's the second time he's stolen home. So that's an interesting, weird little stat. Are you buying Jeremiah Jackson as a possible, like, major league utility player, like a bench guy, a guy that can play multiple positions and maybe help you out in that respect?
I mean, I think they're giving him this audition for a reason. Like, Ramon is gone. There's nobody in the system right now. There's no Steve Wilkerson type guy who you're like, well, maybe he's worth a look-see, at the very least. So there's an opportunity there. I don't think they want to spend any money on that guy.
No.
And I think Jorge Mateo, with these series of injuries,
it might be time to go
in a different direction. So the part I'm not sure of is the glove, even as a utility guy.
Yeah.
So, like, is he going to hit enough to offset that? And here's the thing. Do you trust him at shortstop? If you don't trust him at shortstop, he's not a true utility guy. So I don't know. The season's over, right? Get Gunnar off his feet a few times and let's see him at short. Like, you might as well, if you're thinking about it, you might as well try to solve for the entire equation and get at least some sample size of him doing the kind of things he'd have to do. He's failed in a couple of places. He has not lived up to the original prospect billing. That's not to say that that's the end-all, be-all. I'll say this. Between him and Dylan Carlson, I think one of those two are back next year.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. And I know we're sitting in the midst of Dylan Carlson going through a horrible rut. He did have two hits last night.
Because you're never going to find out enough about Jackson as an outfielder. That's why I'm going back to.
Yeah.
He's a move-around infielder.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think it's a plus glove, even at second. I don't know that he could play second, short, and third. And if you think you're winning next year, do you really want your utility guy to be someone who's only played 25 games in the outfield, you know what I mean, at the major league level? Like, that doesn't make sense. I almost feel like, again, if they really do want to see if this could work, then give them a couple days in the dirt.
Well, it's the land of opportunity right now because you're
should
not playing
be.
Games.
Well, but I mean, is it or isn't it?
Well, yeah.
That's why
it
I said should be.
It should be. And you have this opportunity to see if he can get the job done. Now, I'm kind of skeptical, too, if he ends up filling that role next year just because this is such a small sample size, even if he's still playing, you know, over the next month and a half. But find out.
Let's finish with Tomoyuki Sugano, and he's probably done for the day.
He's
done. Five and a third, three hits, one walk, shutout ball. Thanks, as we said off the air, thank you, Uke, for pitching well enough to get something in trade after you can't trade him.
Yeah, look.
He's been good of late.
He's been very good of late, and I didn't think he'd keep the ball in the yard on a day game and a little bit muggy against that lineup, and he did. And not only did he do it, it's not like there was a whole bunch of wall-climbing situations. Like, there's been days where he's kept the ball in, and you're like, like, even that start at Wrigley, I'm like, man, if the wind's not blowing in right there. This was not that. This wasn't like close call, one, you know, 109 off the bat, 368 feet right in front of the wall. I don't know what it means in the big picture. The starting pitching is now a stabilizing factor for them. I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff again. There's no pressure from here on out. He doesn't have to worry about being traded. Like, he's not going anywhere. He'll probably mop up a lot of innings from here on out and look okay doing it. I wouldn't fall for that fool's gold. I'm looking at, he's going to be 37 next year. You know, the fact they had the oldest starting rotation in the league, come on. That's ridiculous. Like, that was playing with fire, and they got burnt badly. So this does nothing for me in terms of his future here, but yeah, he looks the part.
We're live in Bowie, Chesapeake Bay Sox, taking on Erie this evening. But coming up next, it is a Thursday, and what would a Thursday be without our friend Lucy Burge from DraftKings? She joins us next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.